Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University poll, professor of political science. Let me ask you something. Are you guys getting anything from your polling about the reaction of the public in Massachusetts to the Boston bombings?
It's interesting. We were 4 days into the survey as of Monday, April 15th. And so we, of course, were watching for any sort of impact on the data. And I have to say, it's not there yet. We polled for four more nights after the bombing. And one of the questions we had was, in the upcoming special Senate election, what is the most important issue to you as you make your choice? Open-ended, so the interviewers coded the responses, and I was on the lookout for more of an emphasis on homeland security, the war on terror, and the needle didn't move. Only about 1% of the sample cited that, no different from when we last asked the question in the fall. But it's early, and opinion moves slowly sometimes, and so we have not seen the impact on public opinion, the full impact yet. It's just so early.
You know, it's interesting because the two prime opponents on the Democratic side are Lynch and Markey. And I'm fascinated because we've had Lynch on a number of times. He's very good about coming on the radio, unlike Markey. And the thing is that he's the more conservative of the candidate. So you would think he'd pick up a little steam from something like this, but apparently not yet.
Not yet. It's early, but our polling shows Lynch clearly occupies the middle ground in the upcoming Senate election. He's drawing very large numbers among independents, and he's getting 25% of the Republican vote in matchups against Republican candidates. So he's clearly occupying the middle ground, and although his prospects in the Democratic primary don't look great right now, were he to survive, he'd be a tough guy to beat in the general. And I'm talking about Stephen Lynch here.
Now, you know much more about Massachusetts politics than I do, even though we both live there. But my question to you is this. Is there any chance, like in New York, I guess there is because Cahill did it, that Lynch could run as a third-party candidate?
I don't think there's enough time. And we have to keep in mind that this race is governed by federal election law as well as the state requirements. And Lynch is a sitting Democratic congressman.
So he gets a free ride, in other words. He stays where he is. Yeah,
and Tim Cahill went for broke. He knew that would end his future in the Democratic Party. I don't think Stephen Lynch wants to go that route.
Mm-hmm. Now, on the other side, on the Republican side, you came up with some fascinating results as to who's in the lead. Could you give us a little bit of a rundown on that?
Well, we have to be super careful about these numbers because it's a really small subsample.
Sure.
But here's how primaries work in Massachusetts. If you're registered with the party, you vote in that party's primary. If you're unenrolled, and 52% of the electorate are unenrolled.
And I'm one of them, Tim.
And you're one of them. You can decide as you're standing at your polling place which primary you want to vote in. And so in our poll for unenrolled voters who said they were likely to vote, we said, well, which primary? More chose the Democratic primary than Republican, so we came away with a really small subsample, only 128 likely Republican primary voters, huge margin of error, plus or minus 9.
Wow.
Within that, though, what we see is that Gabriel Gomez, the Cohasset businessman, former Navy SEAL, has an insignificant lead over former U.S. Attorney Michael Sullivan. What it means is this could be morphing into a two-man race with the outsider in Gomez making his first run for office, and Sullivan having served in a point of office in the past as U.S. Attorney.
Yes, but as U.S. Attorney, which is the head law enforcement guy, you would think that he'd get a bit of a bump from what just happened in Boston.
And he just might. Over the weekend, he was on Fox News weighing in on how to deal with the treatment of Yahar Tsarnaev, the suspect now in custody. And he said, number one, revoke his citizenship. Tsarnaev was naturalized as a U.S. citizen last fall. And two, treat him as an enemy combatant. If Sullivan were to advance to the general election here, that would be a very interesting debate point to bring up with whomever his Democratic opponent is. The White House is not entirely clear. It wants to classify this young man as an enemy combatant beyond the initial interrogation process. And it would be that would put a Democrat in a tough spot. And we saw Scott Brown do that to Martha Coakley in the 2010 special, where he argued terror suspects need to be treated as enemy combatants. Martha Coakley said we need to handle them in the American criminal justice
and
system.
And she was right, and the problem is it cost her.
Indeed. And this is an issue where Democrats are vulnerable nationally, have been for years. Are you soft on a war? Are you tough enough to protect the country in these difficult times? And so I could see any of the Republican candidates, whoever moves on to the general, bringing this up and really pressing whomever the Democratic nominee is, Lynch or Markey, both of whom, to my knowledge, have not taken a public position on this issue yet.
I wanted to ask you something real quickly. These guys, these Democrats who are running, remember the history in Massachusetts where you had a Scott Brown who won, a Republican. Scott Brown decides not to run. Maybe he knew something we don't know, and I should probably ask you about that he might not be able to win. But now you seem to see Democratic Massachusetts returning to its blue roots. I'm fascinated by that because, you know, the Republicans aren't making much of a dent here.
It's true. When you look at the pre-election polling, if the nominee is Markey, he leads all Republican opponents by anywhere from 15 to 19 points. If the nominee is Lynch, he leads anywhere from 32 to 36 points. Martha Coakley was up by 24, though, a couple of months before her election against Scott Brown. The Democratic Party, though, very, very good or bad memories, one might say, of that special election. They are bound and determined to kick their ground game into high gear to keep that from happening again, to keep another upset from happening.
I shouldn't say this, and I'll get into trouble. But I talked to a senior official in the Democratic Party and asked him, as Coakley was running, whether she would win. And he says, we're going to have to try very hard. They knew. I mean, they literally knew.
Yeah. Yeah, I was speaking at a Democratic committee function the week before the primary, and yard signs hadn't even arrived yet. And you're thinking, okay, this is not a good sign.
The Coakley yard signs
signs had not arrived yet. And the party is mindful of that, and the party activists are mindful of that. And they've had two cycles to perfect or get out the vote infrastructure, and you can bet that they're going to put that in high gear to prevent history from repeating itself.
You can bet is right. Okay, well, Tim Versalotti, we, of course, love you. We think that you're coming out to talk to us when you're so busy. Everybody wants a piece of Tim Versalotti because he is the official voice of polling in Massachusetts. Tim from Western New England University and the poll and a professor of political science, we're so lucky to have you, and we appreciate so much your coming. When we come back the next time, we'll think of something else to ask you, okay?
I look forward to it. Thank you, Alan.